This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah. Yeah. You tell me when you're ready, inshallah. Good to go. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to always remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our heart to receiving a greater amount of love for Allah, fear of Allah azza wa jal, and hope in the mercy of Allah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our consciousness, our awareness of our duties to Allah of more value to us, of greater importance to us, and of more greater commitment in our privacy and private life than what we seek to show each other publicly. Allahumma ameen. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us young and old, men and women, those who are with us and those who are watching from a distance. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in our rizq, puts strength in our bodies and healing in our vision and our sight. Allahumma barik lana fi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina abadan ma abqaytana. A dua of the Prophet ﷺ, oh Allah, continue to put barakah in our hearing, in our sight, and in the strength of our bodies as long as you have kept us living in this world. Allahumma ameen. First, I would like to thank, mashallah, Masjid Latif, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success, for inviting me to share in these few minutes with you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our gathering a gathering of rahmah, and a gathering where we depart with our sins forgiven, and that our hearts grow fonder and more loving of each other and our families. Allahumma ameen. The topic, mashallah, the brothers, they said, you know, something that's appropriate for young people. But mashallah, I consider myself young, right? So, yani, young is relative, right? You can feel young, but, you know, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our health. Allahumma ameen. So the topic, inshallah, is my body, my amana. And subhanallah, the ayat that I recited in the second raka'ah was from the last page of Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I gave the amana to mankind and mankind took it upon themselves that they are accountable to Allah azza wa jal. And we'll speak, inshallah, about the importance of the body, the mind, and the soul. So to set the stage, it's important for us as Muslims, especially young and old, and mashallah, it's such a pleasure seeing some of my students from the school who I see in class. They had too much of me already, but it's good that they still wanted to come, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Well, I want you to get the conceptualization of what is an insan and what is Bani Adam. So these are two descriptions that Allah uses in the Quran to describe human beings, right? One of them is a cognitive understanding, how al-insan, it's about the mind, right? It comes from the concept of nisyan, somebody who forgets. So it's about thought. It's a cognitive assessment. Then there's Bani Adam. or those who are bashar. The second description is called bashar, the ones who are furless. The ones, mashallah, some of us have more fur than others, right? Right? Some of us have more fur than others. But by definition, as human beings, one of the things that separates us between us and those who walked the earth before Adam. Now, this is important because, see, many of our children, they get confronted when they study evolution. They go to school, they get, you know, you're taught about evolution. And there were these primates, there were upright beings that had levels of understanding, levels of thought, stood on 2 feet, walked the earth, and resemble the makeup of a human being. And of course, what leads some of the theory is that there you go. But what you find is that whenever you look at the models, every single one of those models is what? One who is covered with fur. And therefore, the description of Allah in the Quran is very precise. It's a beautiful description. He says, Bashar. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. When they spoke about the Prophet, the one who teaches him is one who is Bashar, a human being. When Allah sends Jibreel to Maryam alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Right? It's a description, a physical description of a complete human being. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was one who had little hair on his body. Now, of course, if you have hair on your body, it doesn't mean you are far from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's just his khalq, right? The khalq of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot replicate it. But the khuluq, now did you hear that word? Do you see how they sound the same? Khalq and khuluq, the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obligated upon you to do what? To replicate it. You can't make yourself look physically exactly like the Prophet ﷺ. If you were to remove all of your body hair and just leave a little small strip of hair, that this is how the Prophet ﷺ, his chest had a little bit of hair and a small strip down to his navel. If you were to say, I'm going to practice the sunnah, it's not the sunnah in that sense, right? But if you were to say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would be angry, he would hold his anger and not be vulgar. That's his khuluq. I'm going to practice. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Then there are things about his physical being, about his body, that he instructs us to do the same. So about trimming from the mustache so it doesn't overhang over our mouth. About keeping our beard, having facial hair as a man. It is from the Bashar, the characteristics of the fitrah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I want you to think of these two things. The insan is the one who cognitively, Allah speaks about the mind of human beings. The second is that we are Bani Adam, but we also are those who are Bashar. We have a physical makeup. The imams of our faith, they speak about the understanding of what is a human being as being made of three important components. There is al-badan, the physicality, the body that you possess. Then there is the aql, the rationale, the discernment, the intellect. And then the third is the ruh, the nafs. When you're alive, it's the nafs. Out of your body, it is the ruh. These three things, when you put them together, you are Bani Adam. You are from the children of Adam, alayhi salam. Missing one of these separates you from humanity. Now, why is this important? Most of the living things that are walking the earth are very similar to you and I genetically. Right? Even this table, this water. As I sit in front of you, what am I? 72% H2O, right? Because Allah said, He created us from what? What was our initial creation was from what? From the earth, min ma'in, it's water mixed with the elements of the earth, right? Salsalin kal fakhar. So we were made from the depth of the earth, from the elements of the earth. It's not that you and I are made from this mud, not you and I, but Adam alayhi salam, his form was brought together from the things that you and I consume to remain alive. If you don't have enough iron in your diet and you're anemic, you're in danger. Why is your blood red? Similar to why the earth in Australia is red. Why do we have, mashallah, so much barak in WA? Because of the mines. Why? We have lots of iron ore. Iron ore, hematites are reddish in color, rusty in color. Your blood is red, why? Because it has iron. And if you bleed out a lot, and you don't have enough iron in your diet, you suffer. Oh, my nails are... You need more magnesium. Huh? Go get the element of magnesium. You need to eat more bananas. You need potassium. Allahu Akbar, potassium. Why are these the things you need? Because that's what you're from. This is what you... The initial makeup of Bani Adam, of Adam alayhi salam, is from the elements of the earth. Minha khalaqnahum. From it, you and I, our origin. وَفِيهَا وَمِنْهَا نُعِيدُهُمْ And to it their order to be put, وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُهُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى From it we will be resurrected one more time. So this tree, once upon a tree, had a life that was physical, that was obligated to Allah. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Masalan, Surah Al-Hajj. It's one of the ayahs you make sujood when you recite it. Alam tara, don't you see? Anna Allah, to Allah, yasjudu lahu, prostrates or submits to him, man fis samawati wa man fil ard, those in the heavens and those on the earth. Wa shams, wal qamar, the sun, the moon, wa nujum, the stars, wa shajar, the trees. Sometimes have you gotten those forwards on WhatsApp where there's a tree bending down and say, oh, subhanallah, the tree making sujood to Allah. This is not true. The tree making sujood to Allah is that it is submitted to its own will, cannot do anything but what Allah created it for. This is what it is. It's a tree. It can't do anything except be a tree. That's what you are, right? You were created to be a tree, nothing else. But you are given choice. So you're created. Allah says, هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ I leave them on a path. They can choose. شَاكِرًا كَفُورًا They can be grateful, ungrateful. You can choose. You want to put in effort or not. You want to be friendly or not. You want to have good temperament or not. But the essence of your creation, although it is coded by Allah, given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are given choice, an amana from Allah, a trust not to be abused. The first human experiments on fixing the defects of the heart, the physical heart, they said, you know, some people, may Allah protect our homes and our families, some people are born with congenital heart disease. In the heart there is the valve. It doesn't restrict the blood from flowing back. The valve is supposed to allow it one way, but not to let it back. So subhanallah, some people the valve, it opens but doesn't close firmly. So after it pumps out, more blood comes back in. The person's dying slowly. So they said, we want to fix this valve, but they don't have the technology in the 50s, 60s, 70s to do this. They said, how about we replace the valve with another? You can't take it from another human being. Back then, they hadn't yet learned how to keep the heart of somebody who's passed away relatively alive and oxygenated until they can transplant it. So what did they used to do? They used to bring the swine, azzakumullah, a pig. And they would cut open the pig while it's still alive, cut the valve out and stitch it into the human being heart. And subhanallah, because the genetic similarity physically between the swine and the human being was close, that the person, they would suture up his heart. They would give him a cocktail of drugs so he doesn't, you know, it's similar, but it's not the same. And they would live. Because we're created genetically, similarly to many of the things that roam this earth. So what separates us? Some people say, oh, it's the mind. So now we talk about the second. Physically, we're like all of these other things that walk the earth. Right? So we have aqd. SubhanAllah, we got a sheikh, we have things. It becomes strange then when you hear things like, you know, in science, they measure the intelligence of other animals. So they'll tell you, you know, dolphins are actually smarter than human beings. You say, astaghfirullah, a dolphin smarter than me? Sometimes you meet human beings and you understand, right? I understand why this may be said. Is it all human beings? SubhanAllah. Animals have thought and they're able to think and they're able to understand right from wrong. They're able to understand justice from injustice. They're able to understand when they're being wronged and when they're being oppressed. You can Google this later, you know, when you go home. Just type into YouTube. I always watch this with my year 7 students in school. The first, when I talk to them about Tawheed. As I'm talking to you now, this is from my classes. So when we talk about Tawheed, I say to them, listen, you know, there's capuchin monkeys, or just put monkeys injustice. Just put that in YouTube. And you'll see an experiment, a professor, he's talking about an experiment. They put two monkeys in cages next to each other. And the monkeys have been trained. You give the monkey, you put a rock in the cage. It takes the rock, brings it to the other side, gives it to you, so you give it a cucumber. Monkeys like cucumbers. It's fine. But they love grapes. So what they do is, the two monkeys in front of each other, the first one, they give him, he brings the rock back, they give him a cucumber. The second one, in front of the first, does the same thing, gives the rock, they give him a grape. The first monkey looks. They put the rock with this first one again. He comes back, they give him a cucumber. He looks at the cucumber and throws it back at the professor. This is dhulm. And begins to shake the cage. You know, this is oppression. This is wrong. I'm not going to accept this. SubhanAllah, there's human beings who don't even react in that way. SubhanAllah, some of us as human beings, somebody will walk over us. Somebody will mistreat us and we won't even show unacceptance. Not even react, but even show unacceptance. And they repeat this experiment time and again. The monkey would rather be hungry than accept injustice. And every time takes it, throws it back at her. Takes it, throws it back at her. And they did this with other animals. They did this with pigs, with dogs, with bats. All of them have a similar cognitive understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the defect that human beings had. In Surah Taha, Allah describes Adam initially. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَا وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. I made a covenant, an instruction with Adam. I made a deal with Adam, a promise to Adam, and Adam to fulfill it. And Adam was prone to forget. He was not one of constancy. And subhanAllah, as human beings, one of the defects that we have, one of the flaws that we have, is that we do not always remember consequence. We do not always look to tomorrow. So Allah gives us what is called a dhikr, the reminder. What is the name of the Qur'an? Innahu la dhikr. It is your reminder. The purpose of the Qur'an is not to only give you new things, but to remind you of things that your fitra inside you know. Things any human being knows. But Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ 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 فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind them, the reminder benefits the believers. So the second aspect of our humanity, first we said physically, we're like many of the other animals. Intellectually, rationally, we're very similar, but we've been given something that others haven't. Allah tells us, Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala, allama al-Qur'an. What is Allah's greatest rahmah? Is that He gave us what? Qur'an. Why should we value it? Because خلق الإنسان. I'm the one who created you. I'm giving you the manual you need. خلق الإنسان. علمه البيان. taught mankind something that others don't have, which is the ability to convey knowledge from oneself to others in records that can extend beyond their life. So if you go to an elephant and you say, can you teach your baby how to swim? Yes. Can you teach your grandchildren how to swim even though you're not there? Can you leave them instructions? Can you discuss things in that sense that you leave behind a legacy for future generations? Can you draw or leave something that is understood by those who come after you? The answer is no. This concept of bayan, to make an explanation for those who are not present with you and that you will not meet there after them. If you go to Uluru, or if you go to Egypt, or if you go to the Mayans in South America, one of the things that all human beings are astounded with when you walk into the pyramids, you see these stories and paintings and writings and script. The ilm that they convey is something then that's translatable that people who come after admire and seek to learn from. So what separates us? Physically, rationally, similar. Then there's the third component that you and I have been given, and that's the greatest amana that has been bestowed upon us as human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I the ruh. And they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنَ الرُّوحِ قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul, say to them, the concern of the soul is solely with Allah. Even if it was explained, you cannot understand it. The concept of the soul is one that requires greater than what you and I are capable with in our humanity. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. And later in the ayah, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And whatever knowledge you possess as human beings, it is limited and focused in certain aspects. It's not comprehensive. So when Allah speaks of His knowledge, He says, أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. The knowledge of Allah is expansive beyond all limits. While our knowledge is limited to time, place, circumstance, experience, and to the elucidation or the bayan of those who came before us. Where do we receive knowledge from? Sometimes, there's this fraud that's committed upon university students where they're taught about, just the scientific method, that's the only knowledge that is reliable. But as Muslims, that is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, yes, there is the demonstrable, objective, rational knowledge, but there is also the knowledge of revelation. The knowledge that is not for the mind or the body, but for the soul. So my mind and my body, they can absorb knowledge through senses, smelling, hearing, sight, experience, touch. But then there's a knowledge that is beyond that, that is equal to acceptance for us as Muslims, which is the knowledge of transmission that has been given and handed to the Prophet ﷺ, conveyed to us with an honored tradition that brings it to us in the same way as it was revealed to the Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. So Allah wants you to understand this. Allah says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ. These people who deny, it's not that their eyes do not see. It's not that they don't look at the stars and can't calculate. And, it's not that they don't have science and they are not able to understand my majesty. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. But their hearts are blind. The heart has sight just like the eyes have sight. For us as Muslims, the basis of our belief is not just simply the rational material sciences. There are things you and I believe in with the same truth that you and I take as being truth in other things. Sometimes people like to be fancier than they really are. You know, you'll have somebody who say, show, you know, prove to me God exists. But, you know, don't tell me to believe in something. Don't tell me because I have to just take it for your word. And it's a very easy way to undermine this kind of illogical statement. Why is it illogical? Because everything you believe in, somebody told you. If you ask me, who's your father, Yahya? I'll say, Al-Hajj Adil Ibrahim. I was speaking to him just before coming. He wakes up for Fajr and he calls me, mashallah. Hajj Adil is my father. You say, how do you know? I say, what do you mean, how do I know? He told me. My mother told me. What do you mean, how do I know? How do you know? Leave off all tests and other things. We're talking just from the things we accept as truth are always things that people have said to us. Somebody said to you. Even those who disbelieve in God, they believe somebody. Oh, somebody said, oh yes, the universe can make itself. You say, how do you know? I read it. Who do you read? In your Kufr Bible. Not the Bible. In something, a manual of Kufr. I read Dawkins. I read Nietzsche. I read. Somebody's telling you. Somebody's your prophet. Somebody's giving you information that you accepted as truth. Every truth has an origin. It's very rare. Nobody's going to calculate themselves the expanse of the sky. And therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ, don't you look to the camels? كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ? This was for the people who were in Arabia. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ, maybe in our time we say, oh, camels. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ, how about you look at the heavens? كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ, how it was kept in its height. Subhanallah. The world searches for anything that's similar to this earth. That the oxygen level is in a place that you and I can breathe without being tired. Everywhere else, the earth, the gravity of those planets, it's either spinning too quick or too slow and the oxygen can't stay at the... We're looking for water, we're looking for signs of life, we're looking for any evidence. So Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَ وَالْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ, the mountains, how it accumulated and continues to grow up, continues to get taller. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ, and how the earth seems like it's flattened to them, ready for them. The amana, therefore, that is put upon us is to come to understand that question. Why have I been given this body, this time, this place, this opportunity? And I know you will say, oh, Shaykh, the answer is simple. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I created mankind and the jinn that they worship me. And that's the correct answer. But it requires for us to understand who we are and why we are here. You are a physical, intellectual, and spiritual being combined. Three levels. Physical, mental, spiritual. So what did Allah send to the Prophet ﷺ? He sent three things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to our Nabi ﷺ. He sent Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Islam, all of it physical. Because your body is physical. So you need the physical element for your creation. Think of the five pillars of Islam. What are they? Say, ashhadu. Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Salah, which we perform. What is it? Can you just say, oh mashallah, I'm going to pray now. Akhlas, I'm done. Can you just pray in your heart? Qiyam. Look at it. Stand. And then ruku'ah. And then sujood. And then physical. Every year, 1 month, 29, 30 days, hunger. Your body fasts. You can't give zakah through kindness. You can't say, or through working it off. Listen, I want to keep my money, but I'll give you hours of work to pay zakah. La, has to be what? Physical. Hajj, may Allah open the road to Hajj, Ya Rabbi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us, Ya Arham Ar-Rahim. Ya Allah, return us, Ya Rabbi. May Allah take those who have not been and return those of us who have gone. Allahumma ameen. Hajj, subhanallah. You put all of these things together, you find it together in Hajj. Physical. Then there is, so we said Islam for the body. Your body needs the rigor of the physicality of different things. Wake up before the sun. Don't go to sleep until it sets and you pray. Tahajjud by night. Fasting Monday and Thursday, 13, 14, 15 of every month. Give your zakah, give your amal. Movement. وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا. Say to them, move. Put action into practice. Then there's iman. Everything iman is intellectual. What is iman? يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. So you sit with yourself and you deliberate about your belief in Allah. It's in your mind. It's a challenge for your mind, not a challenge for your body. وَبِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, the day of judgment, وَالْقَدَرِ. Each of them is an incredible test to the mind. Subhanallah, you're in the middle of a problem. When you can think, when you think the whole world around you is breaking down. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. The thing you love the most, taken from you. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ لَا إِلَهِ رَجَعًا. I only say what is going to please who? Allah. Allahu Akbar. So it's a challenge to the mind that you have to restrain your mind. You can't just let it wander far from your belief in Allah. You can't just let your mind take you to a place that has taken others because they built a bad construction of Allah, of God. I say, wallahi, I was just saying this to my year 10s on Thursday. I said to them, I've met many people who disbelieve in God. I found nobody who disbelieved in Allah. What does that mean? There's people who disbelieve in God because what they believe about God in the first place is wrong. They have their image of who God is to them. But it's not who Allah is as Allah said. One of the elements we study is called, in philosophy, is called the problem of evil. How can evil exist in the world? How? You know, if God is all merciful, if He's Ar-Rahman, like the way you say, why do bad things happen? It means if bad things happen, that maybe He's not all powerful. He can't stop it. Because if He's all merciful, you're saying He's all merciful, but bad things happen, then maybe He doesn't have power. So He's not all powerful. If you say He's all powerful and He's all merciful and bad things happen, then He's the one who is evil. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is the problem of evil that confronts Christians. No Muslim has this problem. Why? Because in our books, in our teaching as Muslims, we don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you ask one of the other people of the faith, who is God? Say, oh, Jesus is love. So what happens when there's war? Jesus is, it's love. Love, that's it. So what happens when this child has been born in a war-torn country, this child is born with illness, with death? What happens? Oh, then I can't understand why God would do this to me. So then you say, no. That's what you misbelieve about God. Let me tell you what Allah says. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. I'm going to test you. With what? With death, with illness, with sickness, with poverty, with poor. Who told you, because I am a Rahman, that I am not also Ad-Dar, the one who allows harm? Allah never said. Allah never promised, if you believe in me, every time you make dua, mashallah, straight away. Ya Allah, I need money. Mashallah, rain clouds of gold. Huh? Is this the example Allah gives us? Look at the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Born, father has passed away before his life. As he's on a journey with his mother to visit his uncles in Medina, on the return trip in the middle of the desert alone, his mother dies. 5 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A life that you and I say, la ilaha illallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his own father, throws him in the fire. Why? So that you and I understand what? We don't have that problem of evil. Allah never promised you only good. So if you build the wrong belief about God, then it's easy for you to say, astaghfirullah. God, how can God be merciful? No, it's because you don't understand who is Allah. So we come back to al-imanu yu'minuna bil-lah. The thing that you should, and I encourage in our children, is not memorizing lots of things from the Quran. Of course, we want our children, mashallah, to memorize the Quran. But it's to understand the basics of their tawheed. What good is memorize? I memorize juz'a amma tabarak, I can repeat. And then you ask him a simple question. Who's Allah? Who is Allah as you should believe Allah to be? Not as you want Allah to be. This is the amana. Allah gave us the body, the mind, and the soul. Al-imanu billah. It's about holding your mind accountable. Filling your mind with an understanding of belief of who is Allah. Al-malaika. There are a malaika created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for specific purposes. Jibreel alayhi salam, a creation other than our creation. Regularly my students, they will ask, Salam, Sheikh, do Muslims believe in UFOs? I say, yes, of course. Say, Allahu Akbar, Sheikh, UFOs, really? I say, yeah, we believe in UFOs and angels and jinn and hurul ayn and wildan mukhalladun and other creation. Rabbul Alameen. Subhanallah. What do you know? What is in your mind is more important at times of clarifying it and understanding. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. One of the blame Allah puts upon humanity is that they didn't understand and esteem Allah as they should. Hold Allah in the place that He should be in their lives. Then the third level, as you are a Muslim, Islam, Iman, and then there is Ihsan. Allahumma ja'alna min al-muhsineen. May Allah make us of those who have Ihsan, Ya Rabbi. Ihsan then is for the soul. So the body is fixed with Islam, the mind is fixed with Iman, and the soul is fixed with Ihsan. Look at how the Prophet describes Ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. It's that when you worship God, it's as if you can visualize, you can see Allah. وَإِن لَمْ تَرَاهُ. You will not see Allah in this life, in this body of ours. فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you know, as if you can see Allah, you know He can see you. SubhanAllah. Of the greatest ways that your soul comes to life is that you have the mushahad of Allah, that Allah becomes a part of your day-to-day existence. One of the great struggles, subhanAllah, we have with our children is getting them to do their salah where it's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because we are with them, right? That I am standing before Allah azza wa jal. I am with Allah. Inni ma'akum. I am with you. This ma'iyya of Allah. So those three things are who you and I are. And Allah sent us Islam, Iman, and Ihsan in simplicity, our submission to Allah, our system of belief, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, to meet the needs of our humanity. And therefore, the better you practice Islam, the better you are as a human being. The more honest you are, the more generous you are, the more kind you are, the more receptive you are to people and to people's needs. And the more you stray away from Islam, the more animalistic you become. Even when we describe people who have gone away from the truth, when we see people who are acting ferocious, we say, look at them, they're behaving like animals. Look at how they're arguing, they're like dogs against each other, right? In all of the languages of the world, the character we describe, human beings who've lost their humanity, is that we describe them with animalistic qualities. Because they've regressed to lose that component of the soul even though they're thinking about the evil they're committing and acting physically in the evil they do, what has not restrained them is that their ruh, their soul, is not present. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the soul to be in the heart of the believer. The ulama, when they speak about the ruh and the nafs, they interchange it with the word qalb, or the word sadr, or the word fu'ad. All three words mean the same thing as the heart, but they have different qualities in the Arabic language. You and I, when we have a good heart, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, we all know the hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person's heart is good, the body is strong. And if a person's heart is no good, then the body goes to waste, the spirit goes to waste. If you have a lying heart, a dishonest heart, you are a dishonest person. If you have a generous heart, you become a generous person. If you have a cowardly heart, you act in a cowardly manner. The heart is meant to be the king of the mind, and the mind is meant to restrict the body. How do we describe the mind in the Arabic language? We call it aql, meaning imprisoned. Aql, it means to be tied up. So, you know the Saudis, let me give you an easy example. You know the Saudis, they wear the red thing, the men, and then they wear something on top, that black thing. What do they call it? Iqal. Why is it called the Iqal? Because that comes from them as Bedouins. It's actually the figure eight. They used to take this off. They used to keep it there because you don't want to lose it if you ride a camel, right? So when they got off their journey, they would take this off and put the camel's feet in it, so the camel can't run in the desert. We know the famous hadith where the Bedouin man came to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, left the camel and went in the masjid. Prophet ﷺ said, "I'aqilha wa tawakkal." Put your iqal and put your trust in Allah. He said, "Oh, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I don't need Allah. I trust Allah." Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Your mind is not working, right? I'aqilha, tie it." So the aql means tying up your body, tying up your tongue, tying up your behavior from doing wrong. What makes your mind hold back and other people's mind go forward is that you believe in revelation and they don't. Why, my dear sister, do you wear the hijab? Because you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what a woman should wear to protect her honor and her chastity, and I'm going to do it even if everybody around me doesn't. There's no law. There's no, nobody's going to tell you, wear it. You have to wear it. It is. You're not your aql. If you're going to use your aql, you're going to say, everybody doesn't. Then I want to be like everybody. What makes your mind subdued is your nafs, your ruh. If your ruh is accepting of the revelation as true knowledge, and not just your eyes as being the source of knowledge, you don't make up your knowledge just with your mind, you make your knowledge up with your soul. So Allah said, I follow the word of Allah, even though my mind's telling me everybody else is not. What is the difference between pork chop and lamb chop? Genetically, nothing. They look the same. Even Muslim, if you were to put it uncooked or cooked on a plate, you might smell it. We're very sensitive as Muslims, right? But if you see it from a, you can't tell, pork and looks the same. What makes you eat one and not the other? It's not the taste, it's not the texture, it's not the health. It's you believed in what? Your soul accepted the word of God. حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ And in it, لَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ خلاص. So it doesn't mean you don't think, oh, what's the difference, Sheikh? Both of them are protein. Even, you know, Muslims, we get really picky, right? It's just gelatin. No, no, don't take the candy. Right? You put the candy back. Why? Oh, no, no, no. It's not pig anymore, Sheikh. Yeah, put it. Right? Why? Because your soul controls your mind, controls your body. The things you fall away from the truth in is because the problem, is it your mind or your body? If you're not waking up for Fajr, is it your mind or your body? Is it your body cannot get up? If your body cannot get up, you're forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ said, if a person is asleep and they cannot get up, they can. They are exhausted. Work night shift and day shift and they can't get up. Halas, they are forgiven. When they wake up, they pray. Halas, no problem. But if you are regular, in, not every day, mashallah, you don't wake up for Fajr. Is the problem your mind is not smart enough to put on an alarm for your phone? Is it that your mind is not... Is it that your mind does not understand Jannah and Jahannam? No. It's that your soul has not accepted the wahy of Allah. Kutiba alaykum. It's written. As-salatu ala waqtiha. The words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the greatest amana for you and I as a human being is to treat our soul in the same way we treat our bodies and minds. And I end with this. May Allah protect all of our families and our children. If your son right now, you know, Baba, I'm very sick, and you put your feverish, and immediately you either call the doctor to come visit you at home, or you go to the pharmacy, or you call one of your friends, because the body is, something's wrong. I need to fix it. Straight away. No question. If your son, subhanAllah, the mind is not getting the grade, take him to tutor and Kuman and no, fix it. What happens with the soul? Why do we fix the soul the way we try to fix the body? See, sometimes as parents, we ruin our own children. Maybe that's another discussion, right? Sometimes the biggest problem with our future generation is that we try to fix the soul's problems with the mind or body solutions. You didn't pray? Whack. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. No. Because you're striking the body, and that has nothing to do with the reason of the salah. Okay, you struck the body, I'm going to pray, but my soul is not praying. I'm going to do it because Baba is going to get angry. Did you pray us? Yes, and you didn't pray. Yes. Why? Because my body. I want to protect my body. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is not our deen. Or you try to fix it with the mind. You know, you know, if you pray, I will give you this and I will buy you this game. And so you try to reason. You're trying rational. If you do your salah regularly, mashallah, I will take you and I will get you PS5. All of the, Allahu Akbar, he's the muazzin now. Muazzin. But is it for Allah? Yeah. You haven't fixed the heart, the soul. So the soul has a solution. The mind has a solution. The body has a solution. When you use the body solution for the soul, there is no success. When you use the mind solution for the body, there's no success. When you use the mind solution for the heart, there's no success. Not in the long term, not in the objective way that we seek. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to protect the amana of our body, our mind, and our soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enliven us with the knowledge of our faith. Make us from those who have a commitment to Allah physically, a commitment to Allah with our mind, and a commitment to Allah with our hearts and our souls. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wa'akhdh al-a'daka a'da' al-deen. اللهم اهدنا واهدهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم بارك لنا فيما رزقتنا وقنا عذاب النار اللهم افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق يا فتاح يا عليم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير اللهم اجمعنا مع نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنات الخلد يا أرحم الراحمين هذا وصلوا على الحبيب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على حبيبك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاكم الله عنا خير الجزاء. الله يبارك فينا وفيكم يا رب. I think it should be almost time for the adhan, right? Yeah. If you want, maybe we can make the adhan and then we can take questions until the iqama if you like, inshallah. If there are any questions, inshallah. Or if so. Yeah, but make it for us. So we have the khayr and the barakah. Allahumma. Allahumma barik lana. Jazakumullah.